All right, as we kick off, happy Monday, everyone. Always so good to see you. I know we email and talk and connect, but it's just nice to get together as a group once or twice a month to really just continue our work together. Today's practice development call is going to be on really choosing our channel. So we're going to dive into that. A couple of things before we do. One, growth retreat is right around the corner. What is it, like 2 weeks? 2 weeks away?
Yeah.
So just make sure, I know some of you are attending Lifestyle, some of you are coming to the leaders portion, just make sure that your teams are registered. Allison created a space for them in Tribe to make it simple and easy. So if they want to participate, they can go there. And then on the 28th of August, we'll be doing our one-page marketing plan book club if you want to avail yourself of that. If not, no problem, continue to work as planned. And then on the 28th, there are not any Tribe Talks. We're working on retreat takeaways. So that just makes it a little bit lighter month for you guys. And is everyone set up for retreat? Have any questions, any issues with your team, what to attend, any how to make the most retreat questions before we kick off? Everybody's used to it.
We're very excited for our leaders event too. We're going to have a good time together, guys.
Does anyone open the agenda and see what we're doing on Thursday night?
Something about improv.
Yes.
Sounds scary as all.
Improv. Yeah, I know a number of advisors that have actually done improv classes and they're funnier than they were before, in all honesty. So we were talking about like, oh, this would be a great day to build into a, you know, it's all big and kind. And then we just thought what the team found this place in Denver. And we just thought what a great opportunity that would be to get together and have a good time and connect and really, you know, just be collegial. But also, there's some real skills building in there and things that we think will be valuable. So we're very excited about the improv on Thursday night. There will be alcohol involved, no question asked.
There will need to be a lot of alcohol involved.
There will need like that and karaoke required just a little bit, don't they?
A lot will be needed to make that work.
All right, but we're really looking forward to that. This month, before we dive into, you know, the growth strategies that you're all executing and support you on the implementation, one of the big conversations we always like to have, and I think it's even for those of you who've been in the program for multiple years, right, and are building on your success, it's really important to get clear on the channels that we're choosing and how we're leveraging our time, energy, and capital to really elevate our growth using those channels. As Tiff can tell, you have options and opportunities. And when you're good at what you do and you like marketing, you can really do anything. And if you're not careful, that can be a huge distraction. And when it comes to really succeeding with any specific strategy, Tiffany, I think, will echo with me, experience really is everything, right? No one starts out in a podcast, a YouTube, COIs, and they just, right, rush to the top of the mountain and become the heralded resource. There's actually work involved. And I think that to me is the most important conversation we can have around growth is let's get clear on outside of the audience we want to support. What is the channel that we want to, with a very intentional inflection point on the word choose? Because it means that we're no longer reacting. It means that we're being intentional about how we deploy our thought habits, right? And our time, energy, and capital in a way that align with, in this case, our growth goals. And that's what today's conversation is really about. So Tiff and I are gonna walk you through kind of the course content as quickly as we can. And then we're gonna really do some Q&A and then do some breakouts if we can after that to just really have you talk through what you're doing in your channels and how we as a group and with your peers can support you as you head into growth retreat. So that is our agenda for today. Anything else on your agenda that you all would like to cover? All right, set and ready to go. All right, so let's talk a little bit about having so many choices. I feel like marketing is either one of those things where you're like, it's sexy and it sizzles and I want to do all of it, or it's so big and overwhelming that you're like, I just don't even know where to start. And I really hesitate to do any of it. So it's what I call the any or all problem. Think of going to the buffet. You have a core dish, right? You're going to the Asian center or the Italian center or right, whatever it may be. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're not doing, or in this example analogy, eating other things, right? If you have blogging as a primary strategy, you're going to get speaking invitations and you're going to get opportunities to write, but your core pipeline, your lead gen engine will typically be one primary channel. And then you may supplement that with secondary channels that over time build into significant pipelines of their own. But one of the most effective things we can do for marketing is get really clear and conscious and committed to pursuing and executing on a course of action in the channels that we choose, which is very different than the hodgepodge of right doing something over here for a couple weeks or months, and then doing something over here for a couple weeks or months, or doing something over here for a couple weeks or months. When we were on Lifestyle Call earlier, Tiffany, Adam and I were talking about this, and one of our members said, well, I've tried everything. No joke. This happens all the time. Like, I did a podcast. And I did this and I did this. And I said, okay, well, tell me about it. And he said, well, I did a podcast once a month for 8 months and it didn't work. So I stopped doing it. And then I did a YouTube thing where I did like a video a week for like 9 weeks. And then I stopped doing that because it wasn't working. 8 or 9 weeks is not an appropriate, even 30 days or even 6 months. Adam was talking about, you know, when he first started his podcast, he told his podcast producer, don't tell me about downloads for 6 months. I just don't want to know. Because it becomes like comparison and a contest, right? That first 6 to 12 months is really about laying the tracks in your channel, whether it's podcasting or Tiffany, right? COIs, it's about getting that groundwork credibility and gaining permission to take it to that next level. So recognize that you should have a primary channel and that you're going to have core channels that support that, which we'll talk a little bit more about.
Yeah. And then what is your core channel for demonstrating your purpose or your expertise? So there's really three here that we look at: audio, video, and written. In our firm, we have a varying amount of people who would like to do one or the other. So do you like to talk? Do you like to perform? Do you like to write? And then this is really a great place to start on, like, where are you going to like choose that entree? Like, what is going to help you maintain discipline, keep the behaviors going, going to keep you inspired to keep, you know, all the tasks that go with marketing? Stephanie always says it, but marketing is not sexy. It is a process. And so as the sexy piece is getting the prospects through it over time, right? Like, it's very rewarding, but it really is just what's going to keep you inspired. What's that above the line energy for you for marketing? So auditory, you can hit podcasts, radios, you can live stream, you can do so many different things there. Video, webinars, seminars, YouTube, Vimeos, like you name it, social media videos, and then visual. This is where Jared is really, really strong. Actually, Jared's pretty strong at all three, which is super fascinating, and he doesn't mind any of them. But blog writing and content creation. And so like our CIO, he really loves the visual stuff. And he doesn't like video as much, but he'll do it occasionally for certain content pieces just to provide connection and perspective in a different way. I don't know, I'm kind of curious, like, is there anyone who has one that's like, this is mine, like this is the core channel? Neil?
Probably video.
Video? I like it. I can see that about you.
Yeah, video is for people who like to talk but don't mind being seen. Some, like, a lot of you like to talk, but the being seen part kind of, right, pulls you back behind the curtain a little bit. And so much of these are cross-pollinated channels at this point, right? I swear, like, I show up at, you know, last year I started showing up at podcasts and they had video and I was like, come on, I'm supposed to be in my mom bun just giving you good advice. Now it like has to be a whole thing. But the cool thing is you can cross-pollinate. So we'll talk a little bit more about this when we get to the marketing wheel. The thing that I think is really interesting here is when we talk to people about the different channels, the number one thing that we hear is that they don't think there's, right, that it's been done. They're not going to do it well. There's plenty of opportunity, which we'll talk about. It's about finding the format that really works for you naturally, right? If you hate video, we can get you over the hump, but you're never going to thrive and shine. Whereas if you're great at content creation or podcasts, right, there's an opportunity to really invest in the things that we can leverage a lot more rapidly. And then you get to make choices, right? There's interview style where you're engaging with people. And then there's monologue where you're on your own. And that's a little, right? It's just, it requires a little bit more from you. So there's a lot of opportunity. And what I want you to think about is we're not going to leverage any one of these opportunities. We're going to leverage all of them in some form, or I should say some of them in some form, depending on what your strategy is. The most important thing is that you have to believe that you have something valuable to share. And I write, you guys are leaders, you're successful advisors, but there's still that moment of pause or hesitation when we look at, right, the hurdle of climbing a hill to a podcast or a COI campaign or passion networking or a YouTube channel, right? We think to ourselves, oh, so much work. I don't know what I'm doing. What are people going to think? And so our job is to really just acknowledge that we do have something valuable to share. We're not sitting here in a roundtable presidential debate with the top peers in our space, proving that we know what we're talking about. We're literally saying, what's on people's minds? What questions do they have? Do I have some information that might be helpful? So we really overestimate what's required to show up in a credible, knowledgeable way. And it really does, if we're not careful, that imposter syndrome or that can't, or right, what will people think, really slows us down.
Yeah, this just really echoes a lot of what Steph was saying, is those mental hurdles that often create like that humanly piece of just freezing and not moving forward. Like, I just don't know what to create. Well, as we've mentioned many times this year, ChatGPT just changes that. Hey, what are the 10 top questions retirees are thinking about right now? Like, what are entrepreneurs searching? What are the top three topics I can talk about for business owners? I don't know if you're seeing it, but there's definitely a trend in like mailbags, like throw a mailbag on your website and ask whoever's following you what they want to learn about, right? And you're able to write or think about or video or audio, any of that. I'm not going to be good. This one is the one that gets me. I really have to work through those pieces, but I'm always worried about like, what if I just like say nothing and it doesn't land and it's just going to be awful. And it's never the case, by the way. And a big lesson there was, it just never was about me anyways. It was about them, and it's just information that's out there. And by the way, if it doesn't land, then great, I'll go to the next topic and we'll make it one that lands. It turns out nobody's ridiculing or canceling or doing any of that with, topics that we tend to address. So it's really great. No one's paying attention. It takes time for paying attention. A lot of the stuff that we've done has really reaffirmed our client experience. Our retention has been zero for like almost a year now. And I think part of our retention has been 100% almost for a year now. Like, we've had no clients leave. And I think a lot of that was because our marketing, like, we're still working on like growing and creating that further brand awareness, but our clients are paying attention and now they're sending it to people and we're reaffirming that. And so it's amazing what ends up coming as you grow, or like, we're starting to learn why YouTube is sending out certain pieces for impressions, or we're starting to learn why LinkedIn is sending out certain things for impressions and not others. It just takes time to learn it. And then people are paying attention. And I always find it fascinating how like there may not be engagement in certain platforms that we're using, but when I go out to do like traditional marketing, people are like, hey, I saw that. I really liked that. Or how many people like we meet in client meetings are like, oh my gosh, I totally sent that on to my friend. And you're like, how did we, you know? So it's happening. It's happening just because we're being consistent and it's showing up in all of those things. Yeah. And I'm going to look bad. Like, it's amazing where we're at from any of the marketing pieces now, but it's hard to look bad. Like, there's just, it's like the way that content is out there, people are videoing themselves, you know, in their, that's such a bad example, but I was going to say hotel bedroom, you know, but like they're doing messy hair and morning routines. And they're doing all these things that I think it's just this, you know, really getting in tuned with, don't allow like that mindset to hold you back. We got to find the disciplines and just abilities to get out there. And, you know, feedback is our friend. If there's just better things that, and that really comes from the data. It rarely, rarely comes from other people, by the way, unless you're asking for it in a really, really direct way. But it's, you know, getting over those mental hurdles are really important to the disciplines and behaviors that keep you going for the timeframe that you need for these strategies to become successful.
Yeah. And here's the really honest answer. All of these things will be true at some point. I'm not sharing them with you. Tiffany's like, oh, it's always going to be amazing. And you're always going to be a rock star and you're always going to have perfect lighting. And you're always going to say, no, I don't. Tiffany doesn't. Jared, like if you go back, we were joking earlier with Adam, like Adam's early videos, right? They're like dark. He, you know, and if you go back my early videos, the thing about the internet is they don't take stuff down. Right. Every video interview I've ever done for the last 30 years is on the internet. And I go back and I watch them and I'm like, a prospect will reach out and they'll be like, oh, I watched all your videos. And I'm like, oh, you really should have stopped at the last 5 years. And they'll be like, oh, I listened to your podcast 7 times. And I'm like, what in there could possibly be worth listening to 7 times? And that's not everyone, by the way, but this is the point that we are making assumptions about the quality of our message and content based on our stories, instead of taking action to deliver value and experience and advice that meets them where they are and solves for their stories. Like our stories are shrinking us. And the thing that I was listening to Tiffany talk and I just think it's so powerful. We can't let our fear of mediocrity keep us from creating mastery. And that's what we do. We're like, oh, I'm not going to be good enough. Or what about this? Or, right, we have ideas in our head about how it's perfect and polished. And then because we can't execute on that out of the gate, we simply pull back and we don't do it. And then we end up in the place of that energy and effort, expending a lot of time doing a lot of different things, often in reaction mode because they're easier and more accessible, but they're not necessarily tightly aligned with our vision for growth and the channels that we really think offer us the greatest opportunity. So with any growth strategy, the mental hurdles are the biggest issue, because on the other side of that is just, who are we talking to? What's our message and how are we going to execute consistently? And to Tiffany's point, it is a science, like you're tweaking and exploring. And so if we just get hung up on what am I saying, we don't get started, we don't get to the point where we're actually creating engagement with people and we actually improve from there. So basically, as we've said many, many times, write, talk, speak to the trash can, and people ultimately will start to listen and you can get better and better at it. So let's talk a little bit about the marketing wheel. Any good strategy should always include SEO, because that's going to be a key driver, right? And internet searches, which are still the number one way that people find people on the internet. But as you look around the wheel, I want to sort of apply a concept, right? Our ideal client is in the center. And then we market to them through personal marketing, client referrals, COIs, right? Low-lying fruit, passion prospecting, as we like to call it. That's your personal networking. You go to yoga class or you hang out with, right, wealthy tech execs. Like it's just part of what you like to do. And then, you know, obviously things like speaking. So this is where we're putting ourselves out there personally. And that has long been the kind of standing tradition for marketing in the space and still works really, really well. Right. We want to build all that on our brand messaging, which we've talked a lot about, right? Story, website, et cetera. What a lot of you are really looking at are also, one, how do I get really clear and committed and consistent about my personal strategies, right? Like Dave, you guys have so much referral opportunity. Your clients love you. It happens naturally, but what can we do to commit to that channel and create consistent application of effort? That's what's going to really create, right, that trajectory of growth that we want. Some of you are looking at those core channels and or just digital marketing, videos, audio, right, content creation and blogs. The number one complaint I hear about this, I know Tiff and Jared and I talked about this a couple of years ago, is, well, it's already being done. The space is filled. Oh my God, no. There are, as of 2023, 70 active advisor podcasts. By active, we mean people actually producing things consistently with episodes that haven't dropped off or, you know, been heard 6 times, or they don't have an episode in the last 90 days. So there's a lot of stuff out there. There's very little that sticks and gets traction. Why? Everything we've talked about up to this point, right? We got to build a system. There's a lot of headspace trash, right? We've got like all of those things are why people start things, do them for 6 to 9 months, and then bail out on them, leaving ample opportunity for all of you. Patrick King, one of our advisors, is super successful on YouTube. He's gone through a lot of channels. He really landed on that early last year after finding his niche, and it's gone really, really well. So we were talking about that earlier today with the lifestyle group, and someone was like, yeah, but there's so much financial advice on YouTube. Do you know how many actual financial advisors have established and active YouTube channels? Advisors, not random 30-year-olds dispensing crappy advice. 30. Do you know how that's 1/100th of 1% of the 300,000 advisors out there? Like, it's infinitesimal, but we see someone doing something and we think, oh, someone's already got that podcast. Check the box. Oh, someone's already doing that. Oh, someone's already, you know, everyone's following up with COIs. 90% of people that have COI relationships do it horribly. So there's no one right channel. When we do research, everything that people say are the best things are also the things they say they're worst things. Seminars are amazing. Seminars are awful. Webinars are amazing. Webinars are awful. Referrals are amazing. Referrals are awful. It is all about the seat that you sit in with relationship to that channel and then how you commit to executing around it. So Tiff, do you want to talk a little bit about just really making sure that you're understanding your market and what they care about and baking that into your channels?
Yeah, this is really foundational, like before you go in, because otherwise you could be just, you're pushing in too many directions, right? You're just looking at, you're getting out too many confusing messages. You're just trying to hit it spaghetti at the wall. And so this is how we really make that bento box, right? That we talked about earlier in the year, but understanding your target market and what they care about. So getting really clear, getting clear on what do they do? How do they do it? Where do they go to collect information? What's their top searches right now? All of those types of things. Clarifying those needs and pain points, like what are the motivators that are going to get them there? This is something that's been really interesting for us from the entrepreneur aligned area. The retirees, like the motivation is pretty clear and it's there and we can hit on it in several different ways and just consistently hit there, whether it's technical or emotional, like we can hit both sides of that. And then the entrepreneur, the ones that we're going after, it's an interesting space because it's not in that startup space and it's not in that like family office, like we're totally successful space. So like what's motivating them? And where do they then prioritize wealth management into that? And then clear, concise, and compelling storytelling. So being really clear, there's that brand messaging, but what are those like five key messages that you're going to hit on, right? Like as we've created, Jared did it in a tribe talk, but our assessment, we've really created those four pillars, and we're going through them consistently. That has been huge on like our content calendar, the ways in which we're presenting, how we're getting out that information and how it's being received. So as we've gotten clear on our story, that we're definitely getting more opportunities and it's landing in a much bigger way. So this, I think, is very foundational and very important to go through these exercises and get there. I don't want it to prevent you from like, oh, this is where I've been stuck for years, right? Like this, I do think is a piece where people just get stuck. So they don't start. But like, even if it's as simple as like, what are the four technical pieces that they have and what are the four motivators? They go from feeling this way to feeling this way and you start there, like that's going to be a good place. But if you can really get through those exercises as Steph has set up and Limitless has set up, it'll be huge so that you can then create what platforms and channels and the ways that you're going to go about it.
Yeah, this is really important for the very simple fact that the number one issue around driving into these channels for many people is content. Right outside of the system and the conversation, it's what am I going to talk about? Whether it's sitting across from a COI or sending an email to a relationship or doing a speaking engagement or writing blog content or a YouTube, there's this inherent pressure to constantly come up with content. And I have days where I'm like, God, I have nothing new to say. Everything's always been, you know, it's already been said. And then I swear like 17 minutes later, it'll be like, I have 19 ideas running. There's just no shortage. But what we do want to do is put it in the container of who's the ideal client and what are the pain points and needs that we're speaking to. Many of you remember Kyle Walters from last year, right? He has his Sunday video and it's literally just whatever's going on right now, right? Like what's the impact of inflation on my portfolio? Why do stock market returns matter? I mean, like basic conversation. And to Tiffany's point, right? Her entrepreneurial clients will have slightly more complex or complicated conversations, but there's still basic conversations around time, energy, capital, making smart decisions, right? How do we move the levers? This is too complex. Like it's the same conversation from family to family. It just, right, the details tend to change. So the sooner we can get clear on this, that really allows us to hone the marketing and the messaging that we do inside each of these channels. So again, on the personal side, you've got to speak from a place of authenticity. We're so afraid to find our voice. And when we do find it, you are without question going to eliminate some people from your prospect pool. But what you at the same time are going to do is radically elevate your stock with the people that stay in your pool because you're really speaking their language. Two, once you've found your voice and you're willing to show up with it unapologetically, step two is to figure out, how do I show up where my market is? Client referrals is pretty straightforward, right? It's the low-lying fruit. We don't tend to spend a lot of time here. This is a channel. If you just doubled the number of client referrals with a wee bit of effort, what would that mean to your growth with very nominal effort, relatively speaking? Same thing with centers of influence. Many of you have a lot of them, right? That you've touched base with over the years. You've got a lot of them buried in your client files in terms of their supporting COIs. And we don't have them in a channel with a really intentional campaign where we're consistently dripping on them in a credible way. So that's the third leg of the stool, whether it's speaking or COIs or referrals, right? Or showing up at the yoga or the mountain biking or the Rotary event. It's your consistent demonstration of capability and authentic ongoing connection. If you show up in a credible and likable way over time, you will ultimately pick up traction in that space in terms of opportunities. So when it comes to the personal stuff, we tend to ad hoc it because it's personal and it just shows up in the calendar here or there. I'll talk to Bob or Jane and Jackson in a referral. But when we bring order and organization to this and we treat it no different than a podcast or a YouTube channel or anything else, that's where you really start to get those optimal results on the organic growth side. So we tend to skip over this because we're talking about digital and it's sexy and it sizzles. But I think what Tiffany and I want, like, this is the core growth for most firms, and we step over it to go do new cool stuff. And that's okay if that's your primary channel. But if one of these or some of these are your core growth channels, start here. Really nail that, because it's near-term revenue and growth while you're simultaneously looking at longer-term channels to help build a broader pipeline, whether it's, right, YouTube, a podcast, right, lead gen, referral systems, whatever it may be. But the goal is to really get very clear about how you're going to do that.
Yeah. And then what does it take? Like choosing your platform, as we talked about just a few slides ago. So are you going to do it via video when it comes? So the digital marketing is an important piece because it's either you're getting it out there and you're creating brand awareness, and or it's reaffirming to those traditional means in which you're getting it, right? Like the COIs, if they're referring somebody in, it gives them opportunities to just, there's expertise, credibility, skill, all of those things that show up there. So just choosing video, audio, written, again, it could be all three, defining your position. Sorry, I don't know if you guys heard that. That was my dog. He's like 12 and can be gross. I was like, ooh. So if I made a face, it was because he
is doing dog stuff.
Ish. And then just be consistent. Like, digital marketing is all about consistency and showing up as yourself. Don't be different. Like, if they're going to get you in that prospect meeting or that client experience, if you're showing up one way and then you're very different the other, it's a weird disconnect because you're essentially in this digital platform, right? They're in this information gathering mode, and then they're coming in to buy. And so while they're doing that, it's such a different experience. It's going to be a big disconnect there. And with trust being one of the biggest things on the line here in order to get our prospects and for them to choose us, it's really, really important that authenticity that comes all the way through. It's very much you, and that you're, again, just consistently putting it out there.
Yeah. And again, going to that, we tend to think that the digital world is filled up. The Roger Whitney's, the Taylor's, the Adams, the Tiffany, like, they're already there. And so the opportunity window is very, very narrow. We did a little research going into this. There are currently in 2023, 70 active advisor podcasts. Now, there are hundreds of advisor podcasts, but there are very few of them in the aggregate that, right, show up consistently, right? They're actually really deploying the strategy versus, hey, I did, right? The client we were talking about earlier who did it for 8 months and then stopped, his podcast is on the list of every podcast out there, but it's not one of the 70 active podcasts. So when you think about the fact that there's, right, 300, 350,000 advisors out there, depending on the stats that you look at, that's literally less than 1/10 of 1/10 of 1%. of advisors that are doing podcasts. And what we know from all the research is these digital channels are growing and they are starting to get traction in terms of starting to shift the balance of growth from organic, right, to more of this intentional growth. There are 30 YouTube channels, as we talked about, again, not counting anybody under the age of 30 dispensing financial advice on TikTok, but on YouTube, there are only 30 core advisor channels. So again, when you think about style and preferences, there are people that are never going to call me because they're in that, like, you know, old school, stodgy, corporate-y, use big words way. And that's fine. Like, I don't worry about it at all because I don't want to spend energy trying to meet them where they are, right? I want the Jens and the Neils and the Lyles to be like, oh my gosh, we love what they're doing. And we want to lean into that kind of firm. And that creates a gravity that really draws people in. So I think to Tiff's point, it's about choosing that channel and really consistently showing up with your authentic voice. The other big conversation is distribution. So you have two choices. Michael and I talk about this all the time. Tiffany, you and I have talked about it on a number of occasions. We have two distribution channels. We build them or we borrow them. So if you go on someone else's podcast, Jennifer, right, you're what we would call a digital sharecropper, right? You're borrowing, right, their land, their audience. And you're, in this case, trying to convert some of them over to your audience. And that is a very clear strategy. And it works, by the way. The other strategy is building your own audience, right? You're going to do your efforts, your digital, your social, your client referrals, your click the button. Adam actually has a business card. He was showing it to me earlier. So his business card, when he goes off to events, isn't a typical business card. It's actually a square card that has the promo for his podcast on one side. And his contact information, when you flip it over, it's got four QR codes for each of the podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, et cetera. So whichever one, in doing that, by the way, he's very intentionally or knowingly omitting people who don't have a who don't listen to podcasts. So when you're passing that out, 8 out of 10 people, optometrists or otherwise, aren't listening to a podcast. So you might think, oh, what is he doing? That's madness. What he's doing is in that sea of opportunity, finding the people who are prime for his channel because it's hyper leveraged for him. If they listen to him X number of times, what we know is some percentage of them will call. And as you all have heard over the last couple of years, he's gone from our standard sales process to more like the one that we have here at Limitless, where someone calls, you talk to them for 30 or 45 minutes and they hire you. Because all that trust, equity, and relationship alpha happened in the podcast over time, or in the blog, or in the YouTube channel. And so by the time they call, they're already invested. They just want to vet you and know the process. So what you're really trying to build with these channels is distribution. So you want to have your core distribution strategy. How are we driving people to the podcast, to the YouTube, right? How are we finding new COIs? And then you want to have your sharecropper strategy, which is for many of you, you'll use that to build up that distribution list that you own as you kind of, right, buy land of your own, if you will. Tiff, do you want to talk a little bit about what where you guys build your own distribution and then some of the things that you do, right, to build it through partners and alliances and, right, podcasts and speaking and things?
Yeah, so we're working really hard to build ours through digitally, so definitely through social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter right now. But we may be cutting a couple of those down. Facebook's really solid for the retirees, by the way. The boomers are pretty heavy there. And then our LinkedIn, I feel like Twitter was supposed to be really there for the entrepreneurs and we just haven't quite got there yet, but we'll see. And then certainly through our lead mags and those types of things through our website, subscriptions, our CIO mailbag, those types of things, and our webinars. Those are all areas in which we're building our own lists and getting more opportunity there. And then we do presentations for some entrepreneurial communities. We get asked to do presentations in the industry, and we have a few others. So we primarily do our borrowing audience through thought leadership and or presentations. And that's been really, really great as well.
Yeah, you basically co-op them, have an offer, right? A lead gen or something else. You say, hey, you can write, follow me on Twitter or this at the end of your podcast or your blog or whatever it is. And you're trying to convert So we've got two conversion streams, and that's one of the conversations we don't talk about a lot, is we all talk about like conversion in terms of the lead becoming a prospect. But there's a secondary conversion stream that's almost more important than that, because it just becomes math after that, which is your lead gen conversion. Like, how many people can you touch that say, here's my email, so that you can keep communicating with me? Because outside of the people that act right away, that is your largest opportunity pool, because they're here, they're interested, they're reading your content, maybe not every week. But it's like, I have stuff that I follow and I'm like, how did I get on that list? And I'm constantly deleting it. And I have about five things, Seth Godin, right? A couple other things where I'm like, I don't read it 90% of the time. It shows up in my inbox and I'm like, I'm busy right now. I'll put that in my reading folder. But in my brain, I've gotten enough good content out of those messages that I'm afraid to unsubscribe, because on those days that I have time, I'm going to miss some awesomely insightful gem. Right? That's the kind of connection and FOMO that you're trying to create. No one's going to read or listen or show up for every single thing that you do. It's about, can we be consistent enough that if we show up, it's inevitable that we'll touch on them in a way that will move them up or out. And those ups are either to our digital, like our lead gen nurture email strategy, or right to direct conversations. Hold on, I'm going to close my door while Tiff takes this one.
All right. And so striking a balance, like, I think it comes down to, again, we've talked about this a few times in the past, but there's a ton of strategies. You can't work them all. And it is really important to think about, like, what is easiest for you. And then I don't know if any of you have read that, like, that 10X, 10X is easier than 2X that we'll be going through. But like, what compounds over time, and that you can compound over time. So what can you consistently do? What can you recycle? How does that go out? Like, are there pieces, right? So if you're writing a piece of content, is there a way to turn that into a really awesome reel for social, right? Is there, and then is there a way that maybe later that becomes a video, or just each piece of that? But, and then is that creating the followers and the outcomes that you're looking for? But the compound piece is really, really important, because otherwise that's that energy where everyone's like, I'm just going to give up. This is what happens at like that 6 to 8 month where it's just like the work that I'm doing is not creating the results. It's not creating more opportunity. Part of that is also data following, by the way, which is why that marketing dashboard that Steph sent out is super important. Because oftentimes we're just like seeing like certain data, we're not recognizing like what could be behind that, or that it actually is progressing. And if we just did that again over the next 6 months and we doubled what was there, that it would be highly impactful. So definitely check out that dashboard and create that. But Jen, what do you think is easiest for you and what may compound over time?
It's easy, writing, because I can just write the ideas, capture them. So what I've learned is, what I've done is actually in Asana, I now have like a list of potential blog posts. So it's like, oh, I have an idea. Let me just write that down. And then if I have a lot of ideas in it, I'll just write. So when I go back to actually having to write, then it's there. And then we can, then the compounding is turning it into other content. And also I actually just started to type a second ago that I learned a long time ago. There's Brendan Burchard, who's been out in the thought leader space for a long time, was one of my mentors. And he actually told us that he's like, he had one or two, he would recycle his posts, is I guess my point. So you can find, even if it's just like a basic cash flow thing or something that gets hits, that you can recycle that every 90 days and most people aren't even going to notice. It's not a blog post, it would be out in your social. So I, for me, it's the writing.
Yeah, I love that. Go ahead. Go ahead, Steph.
Yeah, I think it's great. One of the things when I was listening to Tiffany talk, right, when we think about the structure that we want to follow, one, you're going to have your strategy, right, which we've talked a fair bit about. Two, you're going to have your structure. How am I actually going to do this consistently is the second most important question that you can ask. To Tiffany's point, 90%, probably 99% of these efforts, think about the number of podcasts, YouTubes, blogs, and like 1% of them actually, right, continue on in a consistent manner and are able to get traction. So what's the structure? How much time are you blocking it? And then that really leads to the third thing, which is support. So Adam and I were talking earlier, Tiff and Jared and I have had like, it's all, you hear me say this all the time, it's all about leverage. right? So ChatGPT is a great piece of leverage now. What are the top 10 questions on retirees, right? You can go to those Google web boards and see, right, what are the top 10 searches or top 50 searches around financial planning or investments or retiring. But it's really about how do we sit, like, are you hiring someone to help you produce the podcast? Do you have, right, a writer or someone helping you with the content? Like, the more support we can get in place, because we have something that we love doing, the ideas and the inception and, right, how do we share them tends to be the part that we like, and the execution is less exciting. So we tend to, I think very much to Tiffany's point, get excited about the strategy and the cool stuff we can do. And we forget about what are the support mechanisms we need to put in place to actually make this one of those disciplined, consistent strategies. And two, which we've touched on, but we don't execute well on, is this idea of what I call content stacking. If we think about that marketing wheel that we were looking at with the client in the middle, once you define your growth strategy, your primary lead gen, whether it's a podcast, COIs, et cetera, and the larger you get, by the way, that wheel in the middle is all of them to varying degrees, because you're pursuing, in many cases, more of those channels. You will still always have a primary one. Ken Fisher, one of the largest firms out there, right? They still to this day get over 70% of their leads through their email campaign. It's a science over there. They have honed this to, like, literally NASA level data analytics. If we do this, we can expect to get this kind of result. And it's built up, no judging, right? Like it or don't like it, it's built up one of the largest firms in our space. So it's not about a right or wrong channel. I think to this slide, it's about picking one that's comfortable for you and then making sure that you do the activities that are going to consistently compound. Stacking is leveraging outside of people, but now you're saying, hey, if my core content is in the middle, it's my podcast content, how do I each time go back into the library? There's a, I think it was the Perfect Podcasting lesson with FICOM at last year's growth retreat, where they went through podcasting, but they gave a really great example of how you can, what I call content stacking, take any episode of a podcast and turn it into 41 other marketing touch points. That podcast can become 12 blogs, right? 4 social posts, 1 speaking engagement. Like, you can literally take a video and turn it into a podcast and a blog. You can take a blog and turn it into, so basically everything is a chameleon. You're going to create it in your core channel, right? Jen loves to write. So the first part of that's probably going to be writing, but she might say, hey, I'm going to do 2 quick socials with a tiny snippet of video, if she's comfortable doing that, right? To cross leverage those channels. And it might be 30 seconds of something she uses a teleprompter app for and records 4 or 5 times until she gets it. But it, all she needs is that 30 seconds of personalization to have that hit be 10 times better on those social media channels. If you put that structure, that creates scale. Hey, I don't ever just produce a piece of content. Every piece of content goes through, right, the strategy smorgasbord. How are we using it for blogs? How are we, so in our larger firms, we literally build up marketing machines where the model is, right? Each piece of content goes into a model. It turns into 4 blogs, 2 articles, right? 1 speaking engagement, 2, like, it's just rote. It's just what happens. There's no like, ooh, ah, it's just, we had these topics. And in a podcast or a video, for example, you might have 5 or 6 topics, right? And then you take those out and you could take 1 podcast or 1 article that Jen writes and turn that into 5 separate blogs. Each of those blogs then branches off into, right, 3 to 5 social media posts. Like, so you can very quickly cover a massive amount of territory really efficiently. But if you don't have that model, right, what is the strategy? What is the structure? Then it can just be like you're throwing yourself everywhere in that share. I'll go here. I'll do this. I'll tack that. And it doesn't mean it won't work, but you guys feel that, right? Tiff's been in that spot where it's like, wow, I'm working awful hard and it's working, but it feels like it should be working a whole lot better relative to the effort I'm putting in and the value that I have to deliver. So this one really is about choose your channel, commit to a consistent course, and consistency compounds. Like, that is the formula. We tend to think we're not ready. We're not expert enough. It's, you know what it is required to be an expert? Anyone want to know what the secret is? You have to show up 7 times in an expert position. What is an expert position? A blog, a podcast, you know, you got quoted in CNBC. Literally, there is a mountain of research around trust. And what it says is when someone's brain sees you, your name, your brand, your representation seven times, and they haven't been eaten by a tiger, their brain will move you over into the will not eat me space, might be safe, and might now set down the guard and actually listen to what you have to say. That's why consistency with those COIs, like think about every COI that went to a lunch with Tiffany or me or you. God, when I was in my 20s meeting with people, I was like, why do they keep saying they love us and nothing happens? It's making me crazy. It really is about just getting clear on how you're going to position the expertise that you have and claiming it. I love to tell the story. I was 24 years old. I went to my first FPA conference and one of my clients, Norm Boone, walked me over to Bob Veras and we had a chat. And then Bob walked me over to the financial planning booth and said, I think you should have this girl write an article. And I was like, shit, what if they say yes, which they did. And then I was like, okay, now I'm gonna, now I have to show up with expert level stuff. And the pressure was like, oh my God. And then I wrote the first article and got like all these things. And I was like, oh my God, they know nothing. I say that with all the love of my heart. I was like, you just have to be a couple of steps ahead of your audience. And in our case, and in your case, you're 1,000 steps ahead of your audience. Like none of us are in our 20s anymore, just starting out. Like, except for Neil, he looks like he's 20, right? I would make a girl joke about how you still act like you're 20. If you were my husband, I would make that joke, but you're not. So I won't. Right. That's the problem with getting older. I don't feel like I still feel like I'm 30, but my body is telling me it's 50. I don't understand.
It's truly amazing what that beautiful head of red hair will do for people. I was talking about Neil's, not your stuff.
I know. Well, mine's actually brown, but the light makes it look red. Yeah.
Well, next time I donate my locks, I'll give you a wig.
That's what you should do. Definitely. So again, like it's all about demonstrating your expertise and your empathy, right? Like your likability and your reliability and your trustability are just showing up over and over and over again. So that people go, oh, Tiffany and Jared are really all about entrepreneurs. And we've been talking about this for a while. And yeah, we want it to be less complicated. We don't want to mess up and make bad decisions. Like we want our money to work as hard for us as right. We've worked just that like resonates with us so that when we're ready to take action, the likelihood is overwhelming. The path of least resistance is them. That's what you're doing with consistency is you're making sure that your message and your phone call or email is actually the path of least resistance. So I'm going to stop here and get rid of the screen. Hold on. So Tiff and I were talking before the call and we thought rather than just drilling into this even more deeply, because I think that really sets the tone for right where we want you to take this and act on it. We thought we might go around and just ask each of you, do you have a primary strategy? What is it? And then do you have any questions about how to leverage that strategy more fully? So Neil, do you want to start? Are you good or do you want to start with Jen? Neil ran away. Neil, do you want to share with the group what's your primary strategy? And as you think about kind of what we talked about, where do you think there's opportunities for leverage? What questions do you have or how can we support you?
When I go out to Denver, I'm really going to be paying attention to our current strategy right now is COIs with an ancillary strategy of client referrals. So far this year, we're 50-50 split between those two. So we don't get clients through any other means or any other marketing channels. So I wanted to pick Tiffany's brain a little bit more in Denver in regards to how they've continued to evolve their COI strategies and see what we can do better in next year. So right now, my focus is making sure that Eric, our new associate wealth advisor, can basically take over a lot of my roles in servicing clients. And then hopefully by next year, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 80%+ of those days are going to be business development with COIs or going after opportunities.
Great. So, love that.
That's the goal.
What questions or challenges do you think you'll face?
I think the challenge or the question I have most is I'm good at the one-on-ones with COIs and keeping those relationships up to date and getting the introductions. But I want to make sure there's an actual process behind the scenes and trying to make it as bionic as possible so that I just have to show up and actually do the work, and I don't have to worry about the team or someone else behind the scenes is making sure that the next appointment is taken care of, and I don't have to keep going into the nitty gritty.
Great. So what are your next steps on this, aside from just go to growth retreat?
Go to growth retreat. And then also what I'm doing prior to growth retreat is I'm actually writing down everything that I do from a COI perspective, because we don't have COI processes. So it's all in my head right now. So yeah, let's create the processes so that we can replicate it with the team, so I don't have to do it.
That's great. Jen, how about you? What's your primary lead gen channel? Is that staying the same? Do you see that shifting? Can you be stacking more? Where are your opportunities?
We're a small community. So the digital marketing that I did do a long time ago is still paying dividends, which is good. So what's working is digital. We've been underground for like 4 years though. So I'm rebuilding. So I think our biggest issue is our COIs need to be re-educated, and our COIs need to be re-educated on the type of client we want. That's the biggest issue. So in terms of what I'm actually doing is I've been thinking more about who is the ideal client. So because we know that we can service a wide variety of people, we're kind of the only game in town. There's a whole lot of pressure around that. So now I've been working on this quote funnel, which is a digital funnel, which we will then roll. We'll use that same funnel to educate the COIs, but it's going to be very much a tax-driven strategy. And so really what I'm doing is just honing and just saying we're just going to go after only targeting the executives, no business owners, no divorcees, just executives for the moment in Bermuda and those coming into Bermuda in the tech and reinsurance space.
And then where do you see yourself focusing as you go forward? Is it just doubling down on those strategies?
Yeah, it's just doubling down because there's just so much opportunity. So, if I were just a tax prep firm, I could just go and blow up the whole island. But we're not. And that's the challenge is getting away from the compliance work, because we uncover the compliance work. What I mean by we go talk to a prospect and they've been preparing their own tax return, and there's a whole lot of complexity just in foreign retirement plans. Everybody's doing it wrong. First thing we do is we identify that it's been improperly reported, not reported, or best yet, they're moving into retirement. All of a sudden, I have to tell them that the entire amount that's going to be distributed to them so that they can roll is actually going to be ordinary income on their tax return, and they're sitting on $800,000 that's going to come in. So most people should turn lots of shades of white. And so I'm trying to develop the marketing strategy so we can get way ahead of everybody before we have to be the bad person. And that's a whole line, if that makes sense. So like, we're going to just go doubling down on a couple of technical issues and then roll it out carefully so that we're not freaking everybody out.
I think Jen, you bring up a really good point that Tiffany alluded to earlier, and I really want to highlight it for everyone, which is Jen mentioned that they're just focusing on a couple of technical issues right now. So your growth strategy is one thing, right? The structure, but what you're doing at any given time is your actual marketing plan for now. How many times has Coca-Cola changed their message and their commercials? How many times has Nike done it, right? So the core just do it doesn't change, or the strategy of media or right event sponsor doesn't change, but the marketing messages that right the package they're taking to the marketplace does evolve over time based on what's going on in the landscape and to specific strategies, right? So Jen's on an island, right? So she can speak to anything. It can be a lot, but if she picks two pain points that she knows are really relevant to her target client, she can build all of her content and every channel around that and go so much deeper and get so much more specialized. And now it's so much more scalable because she's not trying to speak to 29 pain points. So that's the thing. I think it's hard when we have all this knowledge and this value to add and we put these campaigns together, we forget to get really honed and focus on each campaign is making an offer. Each blog is making an offer. Each podcast is making an offer. And that offer isn't necessarily everything. So I love that you're focusing on a couple of technical issues. And then it's really about how do we share the content around those issues across the parts of the marketing channel.
Exactly. And then we'll, having solved that first problem, they have a second problem, which we'll solve in the next piece of the funnel.
Is when we solve one problem, we show them the other nine
problems.
Right,
exactly. Because I don't want to start talking to them about comprehensive financial planning with tax prep and investment management all in one go. We have to move them. That's what we're selling them. Ultimately, I got to start them with, hey, did you know that this is even coming? And then they're like, oh my gosh, they're not mentally prepared to even talk about financial planning until we get through that first problem. So we're ascending them in the funnel.
So well, it's a fair point. Tiffany and I have talked about this around messaging on the entrepreneurial and even the retiree side is sometimes you have to speak to the immediate pain point. Retirees aren't often sitting around going prosperous retirement where I'm free. They're like, oh my God, are the checks, how much are the checks going to be? And is it going to be okay? And it takes them, this was my experience, yours might be different. I swear it took like 18 months to 2 years with clients in retirement or a shift, a divorce, an exit, before they were really like into their new normal. And in retirees in particular, when I was coaching advisors at United, right, we were having all these client meetings, I would be like, they're in their first 18 months, man. We're just seeding the idea that it's okay. So that in 18 to 24 months, we could be like, what do you want to do now that, you know, so they would rush in and be like, hey, you're retired. What do you want to do with your life? And people were like, I don't know. I just want to know that the check's going to show up reliably as I figure out what I'm going to do with my life, because it's a massive change for me. So the point there is just, right, sometimes we have to bring them in, the hook or the offer, that's where the marketing comes in, right? If you know that there's been a tax law change in Bermuda, your next podcast, video, blog, COI meeting, client email, doesn't matter the format, is going to be on this topic and its relevance to people, right? And then you can stack that, have it in the library, pull it out anytime that you need it. All right, so it sounds like you've got a good plan there. I like that you're focusing on the technical issues. Are you doing anything with webinars yet? I know we had talked about that.
Yeah, that's going to be part of so we'll deal with the initial thing, and that's going to come learn it. Basically, the webinar is come learn about this on a deeper level. And then that's also basically a seminar if we want to do it live. So yeah, it'll be the same. I'm just trying to run it more digital instead of running the in-persons, because it's harder to get away from. I want to run them through the process. And when I'm in process, they can grab me. So, right. So ultimately it's to get them to the prospect process.
Yep.
But I have to educate them. And also to your point about the retirement, one thing that I have learned, at least in our market, like the executives in particular, and some of the business owners, I find like a lot of times their identity is so caught up in their career. And so there's a lot of conversation that has to happen with retirement, and they're not, anyway, the point is if you can get them in the door on something else as opposed to retirement, where you know that you're really, me talking about that technical tax issue is really a pre-retirement, get them in the door, start focusing on what retirement looks like long-term, you know, do they even have enough money? But I can't start talking to them about that right now. What I know is I can get them on the, did you know that you're going to have a tax hell problem? And it's going to cost you like maybe whatever marginal rate you're in, you know, 35%. Like, in other words, your $800,000 is worth $400,000. Do you want to do something about that? Yeah. And their strategy, we can reduce it. So it gets their attention. And then they feel like they got that win. And then they're like, oh, what's next? And the thing is, you get to identify, because we're all, you know, good at what we do, you already know there's 400 million other things to do.
Yeah.
You just start and saying, by the way, we can also fix this. We can also fix that.
What Jen is doing that's effective is using a couple, right? She is a function of her messaging strategy. And right, think about this now, the sales process, her hook. Her from a conversion standpoint is going to be, right, we're solving these issues, and through the sales process, we'll create other opportunities to go deeper. We're not trying to solve for every single thing every single time. The reason I ask about the webinar is they really are the most underutilized strategy in the wealth management space. My friend Samantha Russell talks about them all the time. We've built Limitless on webinars, literally built all of Limitless on webinars to the tunes of millions and millions of dollars over 5 years, because it's a really effective way when you have some brand reach, which is where, again, right, you've got to have that distribution. But once you have the ability to get people to a webinar, you're basically aggregating very warm interest, right, as opposed to doing that one-on-one. And when you have specific issues and topics to really tailor them to, they can be effective. So Tiffany and Isaac are going to be talking. They're going to be doing a power share at retreat as one of the leaders' topics to dive into webinars, how they've used that strategy, which I think will be really interesting. Most of you are either doing them, a couple of you are doing them, many of you are very interested in doing them and or want or are doing them for client education, and the strategy is exactly the same. So we'll be talking about that. So I think that'll be helpful to you, Jen.
Thanks.
Lyle, how about you? Where are you focused? Like, what's your current channel strategy and what are you taking away from this conversation?
So we have always been referral focused, and that's been reasonably successful. We've built a $100+ million practice over 20 years by doing exclusively referrals. I never felt like we were getting as many as we should. I felt even more so that way when we joined Limitless. But really weird shiznit happens when you get into this tribe. So clarity is a really interesting thing. I never thought about any type of external marketing, digital or otherwise. That was just not a thing that we ever considered. Came from the wirehouse world. We weren't allowed to have a website. We were allowed to have a web page, but it could only say like your bio and like three other things on it. And that was it. You couldn't tell anybody what you were good at because that was in some way illegal. So this whole concept was alien to us. And then on the piggybacking on the idea of clarity, and kind of understanding what you want to do and then who you want to work with. It took us a minute to get to sort of our niche and really define what our ideal client avatar is or was, which is interesting because my grandparents in 1983 were the greatest example of these people. To know Long Island is to know it's super expensive to live here in retirement. Generally, your real estate taxes start somewhere in the five figures. And so most people retire off of Long Island. So when we decided we wanted to go with a retirement planning, retirement income planning niche, but then really lean into the idea of relocating off of Long Island, it took us a minute to get there. And because I'd never had sort of that clarity piece of who we wanted to work with, we never created any content around what we were doing because we were generalists. So we would just kind of throw a bunch of spaghetti at the wall and see what stuck. The other thing that happens when you're indoctrinated into this cult for long enough is things start to show up. So in my July check-in with Steph, I'm telling her about this whole relocating thing. And she goes, so one of the things you might want to think about is, you know, when you're talking about like blogs or podcasts or something like that, maybe like realtors in North Carolina or Florida, and maybe you interview one of them, you know, for like a podcast episode. And I'm like, how does she do that? Like, how did she make that connection and draw that line? So about 2.5 weeks ago, I'm at breakfast with a client of mine. She works for a regional planning entity, municipal regional planning entity in Atlanta. And they do a bunch of stuff planning for bridges and roads and you know, infrastructure related to healthcare and education. And while we're sitting at breakfast, she says to me, we became a huge refuge after Katrina for like people in New Orleans, like the huge influx of people into the Atlanta area. And we did a lot of work around that. She said, you know, now that you're talking about this whole relocating off of Long Island in retirement thing, and you're going to help clients with that and create some content around it. One of the things you should really talk about is how climate change is going to impact that. Like, do they really want to relocate to Scottsdale and then have, you know, 60 days a year where it's 115 degrees? We just did this amazing, there was this national study done. We pulled some, you know, content from it for a presentation that we're doing. She put me, you know, in front of that. And I'm like, wow, this is like a really interesting blog thing. Like, does it make sense to go to Texas or Florida where it's always made sense to go to? Like my grandparents, 1983, like you went to the East Coast of Florida. If you're a Jew on Long Island in the 80s, you relocated off of Long Island to Fort Lauderdale, Boynton, Boca, that's about West Palm, that's about it. So I was like, this is really interesting, but I would have never made that connection if I had not been steeped in like Steph's little voodoo trick of, oh, you look for content possibilities in the weirdest of places and you'll find them. And that's what's going to work because that's what no one else is doing. So just to kind of put a period at the end of this sentence, anybody who knows what I've gone through this year so far knows that if I put a plan in place and then subsequently back it up with some type of streak, streaks don't die in my world. And so what we're going to look to do is I have no preference. I think like I hate writing, but ChatGPT makes things you used to hate not so bad anymore. So we want to kind of commit to doing blog posts on a regular basis. And then I don't know if it'll be video or just audio podcasts, but certainly podcasts with some regularity. I don't know if we're going to do like blog posts every 2 weeks or twice a month, and then try to do like the podcast once a month. But whatever it is, starting like October 1st, where that's going to be in place of whatever that regular cadence for delivering that content is going to be. We have a pretty decent file already of content ideas. And that's going to be the big sort of the big push. And then how to position that and where to go with that is something that we've been chatting with Greg Will now about. I'm going to loop back with him at retreat. We are going to engage him for that, him and his team for that on a you know, one-on-one ongoing basis starting probably in January. And that's going to be our big growth push going forward. Is he saw what we were doing from a niche perspective and said local SEO is where you have to go. Like that's what makes sense for you. Yeah. He also did a quick web search and is like, by the way, there's nobody on Long Island who's doing anything local SEO related at all, let alone in your niche. So you gotta do that. And so that's where we're at.
Yeah. So a couple things that I heard there. One. I love, you and I've talked about this a number of times, but this like relocating in retirement or retirement relocation plan, right? Like there's just a lot of marketing punch that you can really play with around that. The other thing that you heard Lyle talk about was, right, we'll start with blogs. That's the low, right? Written is, for some people, it's easier. For a lot of us, talking is easy, but for some people, right, the whole being seen on video part is a little bit harder leap. There are some very cool things that you can do if you're not ready to jump all the way in that give you like a lot of the same benefit. If you look on social, you'll see some really cool ads that have like a picture of someone and then like a watermark over it. And then they'll be doing some audio from a podcast or just pre-recorded. And then it'll have the copy up and it'll be like highlighting the boxes as they talk. So it creates like an image of them that really hits with your brain, like, hey, it's still personal, but it's a soft way. You get the same kind of connection because they're listening to your voice and they're getting that little snippet, but it's a little bit softer entry. Who is firefighter note taker Phil? Who am I? Who's in this room? Someone keeps coming in.
I don't know, but I just ejected them. So,
but they it just came back. I think I just admitted it again. I'm sorry.
You're good. Oh, no. Phil, sorry. Let me know who you are if you need to be here.
You're getting booted. That's where those opportunities really kick in to leverage the content that you have without having to go into wildly uncomfortable territory. What's really important here is building a model, right? So if you think about your content map, you're mapping out your calendar for the year by channel, then it would be, all right, my theme, you know, for this week, this month, whatever it may be, is, right, pick Jen's, you know, one of Jen's pain points. And if my primary channel is a blog, right, then that's where I'll drop the core content. And then I'm going to look all the way around that wheel. And then I'm going to decide where else I'm going to stack that content. So step one, the model is you want a good strategy, which we've talked a lot about. Two, you need then a structure. How do you make sure that you're doing something that you will consistently do? Because that is absolutely the secret sauce, right? You got to show up consistently, incredibly. Once you've got that, what support do you have in place? As we talked about earlier, do you have someone helping you come up with topics? Do you have the time block? Do you have a podcast editor or a YouTube editor or a writing editor to help you get things over the hump? Wherever you meet that resistance is where, as Tiffany loves to say, you've got to build a system that's bigger than the resistance that you're going to face. And then you're in a place where you can stack that content, which is what we're talking about now. If I'm doing a video, do I send that off to someone to turn into a blog? Tiff made a great point in chat, right? Whenever Jared does, I don't know what it was, a podcast or something, she'll send that off to someone on Fiverr for $25 and they'll turn it into a lead gen that then goes on social. We all do pieces and parts of that. What's really important and what really drives efficacy and efficient growth is building a model for that. Hey, my core lead gen is a blog. Every blog post is going to be 5 social posts, right? It's going to go in the idea bin for speaking, whatever, right? I'm going to branch that off into 5 podcast topics. So I think FICOM and that thing, like you can literally turn one piece of content into 20, 30 or 40 touch points efficiently. If you're not sitting around making it up every time, if you're like, yep, I need 4 social media posts. Here's my Fiverr contractor, send it out. Here's my writing person, right? Turn this podcast into us, you know, and these days you don't even have to do that. You can literally get your Fathom or your Zoom notes, drop it into chat if it's not too long and be like, summarize this and give me, right, 10, you know, give me 5 250 blog posts. I mean, it will literally do a lot of that supporting for you. And that's where you ultimately get to the scale piece. And that's where the value is, right? You put out content irrespective of the format and you're building up that distribution so that you know at any given time a set percentage of those people are going to have a need that requires them to reach out to you. And the more we build that distribution, right, the more that that pipeline grows and we start to put our effort in, concentrate our effort into that pipeline. And then those spinoffs become wildly efficient. But what ultimately happens, Tiff and Jared have done this, Adam has done this, those secondary pipelines becomes really meaningful streams of their own, right? Adam goes out and speaks and he gets business. He gets business from people who are not listening to his podcast, but it's a secondary stream. He's passing that podcast card out to everybody, but the people who really liked what he had to say and who are ready to call him right now or in the next few months will do that. And the more that he speaks, by the way, then his name is on the circuit, right? As Jared's doing things, he's writing the book, he's talking, then you become more truly, right, a more established expert in that space because now people are having, this is where it gets really powerful, a multi-channel experience. You will see me on podcasts. You will see Stephanie on videos. You will see Stephanie in articles. You will see Stephanie in every single format there is. The only ones we're not doing internally right now are video and podcast because we're focusing on other things that we want to get really nailed down before we make those commitments. And when we do, we're going to have a lot more opportunity on the other side, but we haven't been in a position to capitalize on that opportunity. There's just no point in starting a podcast and then stopping it after 3 months. And there are days it makes me crazy where I'm like, okay, all these people have podcasts. It's been done already. What am I going to have to say? And then I'm like, this is the stupidest thing, right? That's just the very human part of our experience, right? We have a voice. We have something to say. We know we'll build up an audience list, but we're being very intentional about how we execute so that when we show up, we can do it not just credibly, but really, really consistently. So you're not going to be in all 10 channels at level 10 all the time. As you grow and you create leverage, you get that traction. Hey, right, I can write articles really quickly now, no big deal, right? Hey, I can do 5 more podcasts, no big, like then you can really start to scale it and use people, process and platform. And that's where you can be in YouTube, video, but like that's where it starts because you build a machine around it. And now it's not all this personal effort that you're pushing, it's how you're executing using that structure. Dave, how about you? What's your current channels and where do you think you want to focus going forward?
Yeah, you know, we've had a lot of success with doing educational events. Like we've done like the educational workshops in colleges and that actually pretty much changed the projectile of the practice. We ended up getting some really great clients and then great referrals from them. So those were really incredible. We just did one. You know, to your point about the webinars, we tested one in April with White Glove.
Hello.
And, you know, I just wanted to really see if it would work. But we did a recorded webinar that was, broadcast twice as if it was live, which was really, you know, I didn't think it would ever work, you know, but I just did it just to see if it would work. And And sure enough, we picked up an ideal client from just doing the one of them. So we've had a lot of good experience, like doing video seminars, educational type of events. So the focus for me is really, you know, focusing on really educational webinars for my current clients. And I really, you know, want to do just as how you just left this last conversation. I really want to do kind of go through it much more and just learn how to cut it up and redistribute it out. One quick thing I just want to mention to Lyle that you may have thought of already or may not have, but what we've been doing and included in this educational webinar stuff is we brought in a subject matter. I'm in Buffalo, New York. So if you think people want to leave Long Island, you should see here Buffalo. You know, it's even more so for
Dave,
some.
Dave, my only question is, has it snowed yet in Buffalo?
When you say that, I have to look out the window, but not yet. But you know, one thing we did, and you may want to incorporate this, because I love the idea of this retirement relocation plan, but we brought in a real great subject matter expert attorney that represents clients locally in our area, how to survive residency state audits when they buy a place in Florida and they want to spend time here, and it draws a significant amount of attention. So that could really be in your retirement relocation plan, how to survive New York State residency audits. It's been amazing, really well received. We're going to do another one in September. But yeah, you know, Stephanie, my question would really be like, you know, we have capacity to start doing this and breaking it up and so forth, but we don't really have the expertise for that. Do you think we should hire, you know, like a third party group to do that? Or do you think that, are we going to be experts come August 25th? We'll be 100, you know, we'll be experts. And I don't know, like, what do you think on that? Because that would be a good project for David to do. I'd like David to learn how to fish like that and kind of learn the ropes and be Taylor Schultz, you know, how I know he controls it and does it all himself, you know?
Yeah. Tiff, I saw you nodding. Do you want to kick off with that?
I mean, we certainly can. The webinars sessions that we'll be doing at Growth Retreat will be really great, by the way. But when you say you taking it on as an expert and or are you talking about the relocation, the one that you previously did, and now you're looking to be the host?
Oh, I'm no, you know, it just I'm yeah, no, what I, I'm sorry, I wasn't clear. But what I meant was like when we're doing these webinars, like how mm-hmm. kind of cut it up, you know, cut those pieces up and, you know, maybe put some on podcasts, put some on like social media, like, you know, put some on, you know, as webinars, you know, how do we leverage that? I know that it's possible and how, you know, how do we create some writings and blogs and so forth, but
yep.
In terms of like the expertise to really do that, like that's, we have the capacity, just not the expertise to actually to leverage those pieces out, you know, it'd be neat, you know, to, you know, do one part of it and then leverage it out. I think it'd be really cool.
Yeah, I would say, so that's a good question, given that you have the capacity. The one thing is like, if you're looking at video editing and those types of things, it can be a little bit cumbersome. So it would be really around, you know, Dave and energy. But as far as being able to take the webinars, I'm like, if you are recording them as Steph does, or having your Firefly in there or something along those lines, right? Easy to throw that into a chat and then create some social posts, some reels, and or create a, again, send it to Fiverr and create like a guidebook that's a really great follow-up for your next webinar that's like, hey, if you stayed at the end, we have a free giveaway, right? And or as a follow-up, send this out if you found out, you know, if you really loved our webinar, like we have a guide, feel free to send it to others, and they have to give you information in order to, you know, get that lead. So those CTAs are really great. So I feel like there's aspects of like what you can do in-house and then what may make sense to leverage out of like third-party expertise. And there's a lot of systems. So I think a good conversation with him would be like, where is he at on that? Over time, you may find that you're going to want to eventually push that out. Something that we like as a firm is we have adopted or learned a lot about how we want a certain process so that we can effectively make sure that it's going out consistently in a really great way, in a way that we like. And so there is something about building it in-house and then being able to effectively delegate that to a third party. But if you're creating the content and then you have the webinars, there's so many options that are not crazy expensive that you could get that out there. So I would explore it and just know your capital, time, and energy trade-offs, and then really where is Dave best? Would it be putting him in the prospect process? Would it be, would it be him engaging with those that are engaging with the content? Would it be personal follow-ups to those that have provided you email addresses from the lead gens? So hopefully there's a lot that kind of comes from recycling that content and then figuring out where maybe it would be best use of time.
Gotcha.
Steph?
Yeah, I was just drawing because I'm just going to turn that into a picture, right? This is really tragically bad as we're all used to, but we're building out like a model for this for next year so we can take you guys through it. But right, like you're going to have your content, you literally should have a piece of paper or a spreadsheet, right? Pick your format. So I'll use your example, right? So my content driver pipeline is my webinar. And in this case, like we're going to use the New York residency audit, right? Boom, that's my content in the middle. I'm going to define in advance, this is where you get so efficient. You do the smart thinking once. Okay, for video, every time I do a piece of content, I'm going to have 3 1-minute videos. I'm going to get a contractor who's good at that, right? So whether it's chat and a write and then you send it off, or a writer and you send it off, doesn't matter. In each of your channels, that's where the support system comes, right? Adam just does his podcast now with ChatGPT. He's been doing it for 3 years, but in the beginning he was like talking to people and what ideas do you have? And he had to block time on his calendar and figure. Now he's got that honed, right? So now he's in a position to take his success and expertise in one area and then apply it to the other. So you want to be careful that you don't overdo it in the beginning. You don't necessarily want to start with taking everything you do and putting it 19 places unless you're set, right? So step one is get that core content in that core channel. But as soon as you can, via your support, you're then going to scale. If it's right, that webinar is going to turn into 4 750-word blogs. You take the webinar, you download the transcript, you drop it to ChatGPT, you say, please create 4 750-word blogs. You send it off to a writer, like however you get there, right? The amount of time that's actually required is nominal in this model. And you go around, oh, we're not doing this one. I don't have to worry about that. Hey, I'm coming over here to COIs, right? That webinar is going to turn into, 6 COI messages, right? And then that becomes, you define that. Is it email campaigns? Is it white papers, et cetera, right? Clients are an audience. Hey, it's going to turn into 3 1-minute videos for clients. Hey, we were talking this week about blah, 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 right? It shows up somewhere. Social, right? I'm going to have my Addy stuff where I'm promoting webinars, and I'm going to have my personal stuff, and I'm going to have my little voiceovers where they take audio from, right? And it shows my picture because I'm not ready for video. And we've got the highlights, and that cost me a whopping $150 on Fiverr. So once you've got the model built out, you build out your support system, and then you just build that basically habit machine of, if your content is YouTube, you pass it off to the contractors, you've got that relationship established, and they know what to give you back. So you can actually, we've done it, Tiffany's done it, like you can build a really robust marketing machine without having a big marketing staff, as long as you've got that model defined. Otherwise, you're constantly chasing, oh, I got an invite for this, or what about this, or what should I do? Notice what we're talking about is just getting so much more intentional about the work that we do. Right. So Dave, that's the model, like very much all that stuff that Tiff said, I just like to put it into a model because I know that, right, we just like to replicate what works so that we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Does that help a little bit?
Very much so, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Leanna, how about you and Travis? I know you're displaced at the moment, but nonetheless, where are you guys focusing your channel marketing and where do you think you want to focus as you go forward?
Hello there. So right now we've been continuing to do our short videos that we post on our current website. So we actually use a company that helps us write the script because that is not something I'm very good at. So we hire that out. We produce about 12 of them a year and use them mostly for existing you know, we will email some of them out to clients, try to push them to the website to see them or the YouTube channel, is what we're currently doing. So we have not switched our whole branding message. We're waiting for that to roll out once we're at our new firm.
Okay. Where do you see any opportunities to stack that in terms of the other channels, or do you feel like that's what you can manage and consistently? I mean, obviously you've got a lot going on, but changes, but is it driving the growth that you want? Do you need to deepen it or expand it as you reflect on growth?
Yeah, no, it definitely needs to be deepened, and we need to kind of, you know, narrow the focus of it. Right now it's very broad. We have also done a few different little webinars. They're more live presentation type stuff. We have done that in the past. So I think those are, you know, what everybody's talking about and what we're all wanting to do is have more of a consistent presence out there. And that's just a big time commitment that right now I don't think we are able to commit to as far as having something that's more frequent.
Something that I would love to see you do, Tiffany's done a really good job of this, going to the conversation with Dave, is setting up as you guys are preparing for the change next year, is setting that up so that when you are ready to drive that growth, you're just leveraging the system, right? So finding that Upwork contractor who can do the blogs, et cetera, because you've already got your core content and it's working and you're doing that consistently. Mm-hmm. So it's right, as we talked about, are we driving deeper? Which Tiffany's done, right? You go into more topics and more subjects where you're building deeper and deeper credibility in that audience. Jen, right? Your technical issues or David's retirement, you know, relocation audits are a great example. And right, you can, so that's where we just have to get really clear about, which is why I asked Leanna that question, knowing everything they're dealing with. It's really easy to disperse our energy too much. And remember, it is like watering a garden, right? You're trying to keep the landscape alive, but you've got one hose. And wherever mm-hmm. you're pointing that water hose is where the water's going right now, which is our typical marketing style. What Tiffany and Jared have really put in place, and many of you are working on really well over the years, is building a sprinkler system so that you don't have to be standing there, and where you pivot, the water pivots, and where you're focused, it grows, and where you're not, it dries up. What yeah. we're really talking about with these channels is you can apply that individual effort and it will work really well. It gets really exciting and we can start to really scale that growth when we get to a place where we can implement that broader strategy and stacking system. So we can take that one path of work and turn it into multiples of additional opportunity. But it does take, Tiff can talk about that, time, energy, and effort to manage great people and teams and contractors and channels. So you want to make sure that you can do it consistently. So it's better to do one thing really well, I think, Tiff, would you agree, than write 10 things that you're doing at 10%?
Absolutely.
Matt, good to see you, man. How are you? Can you hear me?
Oh, sorry. There we go. I'm doing good.
Good, good. You could go back and listen to the beginning of the call if you want. We were just going over choosing your channel and growth strategies, which I think will be a really good conversation for you. You're going to have,
yeah,
depending on how things are going with the firm, obviously a nice lead gen. But as we talked about in our last call, you've got a lot of other opportunities, right, to grow. Right. And I think for you, it's going to be about focus like everyone else.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right. Well, you and I can continue that. Go back, watch the recording if you can before growth retreat. I think it will be really helpful. And then we can have you and us and your peers can have some side convos around that in terms of where you want to focus your efforts as you make a big pivot as well. All right, okay, everyone. Perfect. Super nice chatting with you, Tiffany. Thank you as always for joining us and your insight and experiences into how you've applied these lessons. We really just wanted to ground you guys in the strategy of, let's get really clear and conscious about where we're going to apply our time, energy, and capital in terms of our channels. And those one or two can work incredibly well, and then no different than service models and everything else. When you've really nailed it, right, year two, year three, year four, you can really expand and drive into those scale channels. But in the beginning, simple really is the ultimate sophistication. So I know we're very much looking forward to getting together with all of you at Growth Retreat. We'll see you there. We've got some great thing planned for lifestyle and some really fun stuff. I think some meaningful conversations for leaders. So we'll see you there. You guys have a great day.